My next presentation is on cardiomyopathies, and I showed you this slide before. These are the different types of genetic heart diseases, and what I'm going to focus on for this presentation is cardiomyopathies. And cardiomyopathy is a very simple word. Cardio means the heart, myo means muscle, and pathy means any pathology. So cardiomyopathy means a heart muscle problem, basically, or heart muscle pathology. There are some common features in cardiomyopathies, which doesn't matter which type of cardiomyopathy you have, there are some common features. We've already heard, I think this is everyone's new word if you didn't know, autosomal dominant. That's the way the gene is passed on from one generation to the next. So if I have the disease, my children have a 50% chance, 1 in 2 chance of having the same condition. That's autosomal dominant inheritance. Males and females equally affected. Next, generally speaking, patients are younger with these cardiomyopathies. So most heart disease patients usually are in their 60s and 70s, whereas a lot of the patients we see, as you look in the crowd, we see teenagers, we see young adults, we see middle-aged people, and of course we see older people as well, but generally often younger, and sometimes they're asymptomatic. In other words, they have no symptoms, and especially in the middle, for some reason, the middle-aged males, who, you know, at the age of 40, they might go for a health check, or their work might force them to do an exercise test or some sort of ECG for a check, and then something's abnormal, then they get a string of investigations and they end up with a cardiomyopathy. So often they have no symptoms at all. They're clinically diverse. So in all the cardiomyopathies, there's a big variety. There's many people with dilated cardiomyopathy who have no symptoms. I see them every year. It's like a waste of time because everything's fine. They don't need any specific treatment and they're fine. On the other hand, they can have heart failure, need a transplant, or die suddenly. So that diversity is seen in all the different cardiomyopathies. They're also genetically heterogeneous or diverse. And by that I mean, in none of the cardiomyopathies does one gene cause the disease. It's one gene in the individual, but there are many genes associated with dilated cardiomyopathy or hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and our job is to find which gene it's in and what the fault is. And, of course, you've already heard the importance of looking after these cardiomyopathy patients with a multidisciplinary approach, and I think you've got the message there. This is just, again, to remind you about the importance of testing, genetic testing. We find a variant in the family member, then we can look at other family members to see if they do or don't have the gene fault. Because if they don't have the gene fault, like those two people indicated there, they don't have to come back every year or every 2 years for the rest of their life thinking they might develop a disease. They don't have the gene, they can't get the disease. They can go and be freed from clinical surveillance. Whereas the ones where you do find something positive, then you can follow them more closely. So those first few slides are really just a summary of some general principles about cardiomyopathies. Now in the next 27 minutes, I'm going to try and tell you a little bit about each of the cardiomyopathies. And the first one is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. And the reason I choose hypertrophic cardiomyopathy first, because remember when I told you, the very first slide I showed you today, I said since the 1990s there's been an explosion in the genetic heart diseases, what knowledge we have. Well, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy was really the first disease where we really got a handle on the genetic basis. So it's sort of been a model of how to investigate a heart disease that has a genetic cause. Many high-profile examples, I think some of you may know this gentleman, Reggie Lewis, a very famous Boston Celtics basketballer who had hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, was told not to continue playing for the Boston Celtics but continued to play. And during a practice session, actually, for a semi-final, he had a cardiac arrest in his 20s and died. So hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is the cardiomyopathy which we do hear about a lot in terms of athletes dying on football fields. And this is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Just a few facts about it. Firstly, it's quite common, 1 in 200 people. So for a genetic disorder, this is very, very common. Most genetic disorders you might be thinking of, cystic fibrosis, multiple sclerosis, those conditions, they're one in the many, many, many thousands. So 1 in 200 is fairly common. This is an echocardiogram of somebody with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and what you just have to believe me is this is the normal, this is the heart, this is an echocardiogram, this is the chest wall, This is the normal thickness of the heart muscle wall, which is about 1 centimetre or 10 millimetres. This is a massively thickened myocardium. This was actually a 17-year-old boy who was completely asymptomatic, no signs of disease, but had a family history. And when we did the echocardiogram, it's about 30 millimetres. This is a post-mortem, sadly, section of a young person who died suddenly running along a beach, where you can see the very thickened heart muscle here. You can also maybe appreciate some white areas in the heart, and that's scar tissue. So a feature of this condition is you can get scar in the heart. And scar in the heart is a bad thing, because anywhere in the heart where you've got normal muscle next to scar tissue, it's a pathway to enable abnormal rhythms of the heart. So fast rhythms that Caroline talked about, ventricular arrhythmias and sudden death. It's clinically diverse, as I've spoken to you about, for all the cardiomyopathies. No symptoms to very severe blackouts and heart failure and sudden death. It's mainly diagnosed by thickening of the heart, as you can see there, but there's many other issues with the condition, and it can be a cause of sudden death in young people. When we look at the genetic basis of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, or the causes, the main causes of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy relate to a structure in the heart called the sarcomere. So 58 years ago, when this disease was first described by a pathologist called Donald Tear in St George's Hospital in London, he called this a tumour of the heart. He thought it was a tumour because it's this big blob of muscle, very abnormal looking. He didn't have MRIs and ultrasounds to look at these patients, but noticed this massive thickening. So we've gone from calling this condition a tumour of the heart in the 1950s to what we call now a disease of the sarcomere. So what's the sarcomere? The job of the heart is to pump blood. That's its job. The most simple explanation of what the heart does is the pump, and it pumps blood. For it to pump, it needs little motors, and those motors are called the sarcomeres. So the sarcomere is an individual motor that sort of contracts, and when you combine thousands and thousands of them, the whole muscle contracts. So we now know that this disease is caused by gene problems in the sarcomere structure, and the two most common genes, and I just mentioned these because there might be people in the room, myosin heavy chain 7 and myosin binding protein C. These are the two commonest genes involved in the condition. If you take all comers, everyone with hypertrophic cardiomyopathy on echo, you pick up a diagnosis in about 35 to 40% on genetic testing. But thanks to work by Dr. Jody Ingalls, if you have a family history of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, so there's two or more people with the condition, the pickup rate's around 70 to 80% because you've already got some evidence clinically that it's genetic. So very interesting sort of observations. And going back to what Laura said earlier today, and I cannot reinforce strongly enough, anyone that has genetic testing must have genetic counselling prior to the genetic test to explain these options, to explain that the pickup rate is 35 to 40%, but your brother has the condition, so it might be 70%, and you might get a result that's one of those ugly things that Laura talked about, the VUS, the variant of uncertain significance. People need to know all of that before they embark on genetic testing. So very, very important. And the management of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is diverse. I don't have time to go through every single thing, but what this slide demonstrates to you, and I'm sorry to show you a meaty heart just after lunch, and anyone who's having a barbecue tonight or anything, just turn away. But basically, the management is divided into three areas. The children running is all about lifestyle modification. So as Jody pointed out, we do tell people with all of these cardiomyopathies to avoid high-level competitive sports, every one of them. That's the current guideline. But when I say high-level competitive sports, we're talking about elite athletes. These are the Olympians that come and we have to tell them they can't continue to do or be a rower. It's public knowledge, but most recently, Chris Normoff, the Sydney FC soccer player, had to be told, I saw him here at the clinic, and it's all public knowledge, so I'm happy to declare it, but he had to stop playing competitive high-level soccer because of his condition. So high-level competitive sports have to be avoided. However, as Jody again mentioned, we do encourage people to do lots of exercise. Exercise is good for you. But we just don't want to do the highest level exercise that's going to put too much stress on the heart. And we can talk about that in a bit more detail in the question time if we need to. The second area, apart from lifestyle modification, is medications. The third area is interventions. You've heard a beautiful talk from Caroline about implantable defibrillators. There's my picture there of implantable defibrillators. But there's other things you can do. Some people, when they've got obstruction or thickened heart muscle, you can actually do an alcohol ablation where you inject alcohol into the heart and cause a little heart attack to thin the muscle. Or you can take a knife and actually cut the muscle out like this. So these are different options. And, of course, this option here is heart transplantation, which for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is a fairly rare outcome. But we do see it in perhaps 1 to 2% of our patients who actually need to have a transplant.